Welcome to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. As next month's Delaware primary election approaches, Delaware Public Media is ramping up its coverage of the races and issues important to Delawareans. Among the areas we want to examine are issues surrounding the First State's environment. Offshore wind, electric vehicles, forever chemicals, and sea level rise are just some of the topics that candidates are being asked to address to gauge their ability to lead on the environment. Delaware Public Media contributor John Hurdle recently spent time chatting with candidates up and down the ballot about the environmental challenges the state faces. His piece on what they had to say is available right now at DelawarePublic.org, and he joined me this week to delve into what he learned. So let's start with what I feel is like the most contentious issue, and that's the Advanced Clean Cars 2 program, or so-called EV mandate, that calls for 82% of new cars and trucks sent to Delaware for sale to be zero-emission vehicles by 2032. This one is definitely getting some significant pushback from Republicans, correct?
That's right. I mean, this rule originally called for 100% of new cars sold in Delaware by 2030 to be zero emissions. Now, of course, that's now been rolled back in the way you described, Tom. And regardless of the precise timing or the exact percentage that the rule of zero emissions cars that this the rule requires, yes, the Republicans are pushing back against that. They argue that that the rule limits consumer choice, that there aren't enough public charging stations, and that the electric grid would need updating in order to provide electricity for all of the zero emission vehicles that the rule wants to install by 2032.
And interestingly, on the other side, many Democrats, while supportive of the general effort being made by the Advanced Clean Cars 2 program, seem to be a little cautious about fully leaning into this. What are they saying about it? Because it seems like some of the idea of like the timelines and the percentages are still a bit of an issue.
Well, one of the Democrats that I spoke to on this was Russ Huxtable, who's seeking re-election for a House seat in Sussex County. So he praised the rollbacks of the Clean Cars rule, saying that it gives consumers more choice, and it gives the state more time to decide whether to build out a EV infrastructure. We also had a response from Lieutenant Governor Hall Long, of course, one of the Democrats seeking the governorship. And she said that the revised target may even have to be revisited again. So I think those two right there are probably indications that, that maybe some Democrats still have some reservations about this plan.
And I'll just add as a side note, when we talked to Colin O'Mara, Democratic candidate for governor during our candidate conversations, he, who was probably the most progressive on some of these environmental issues, even said there is concern on his mind that they could boomerang on Democrats if they don't meet these particular benchmarks that would give opponents the kind of I told you so argument. So it is interesting to see how that's playing out. I do want to move on to another issue, John, and that's offshore wind, which is another one that's been in the headlines. As Delaware, as you've reported, has been taking initial steps to procure wind energy offshore. How much support is adding offshore wind to the state's energy portfolio getting up and down the ballot?
Well, I mean, predictably, the Democrats do support offshore wind. But some recognize that the public needs to be more involved in decisions over siting wind farms offshore. I mean, one of those is Matt Meyer, currently the Newcastle County Executive, and he is saying that if he becomes governor, then he will seek buy-in from coastal communities who may be concerned about the visual or environmental impacts of wind farms. Colin O'Mara wants to minimize the environmental impact of any interconnections between the power cables that come from the offshore wind farms and the grid on land. On the GOP side, Mike Simpler, who is a candidate for District 14 in the State House, He did call for diversified energy sources, but he said that that offshore wind developers should have to pay up front for the decommissioning of wind farms. That he's anticipating that in coming decades, when they've reached the end of their life, then the developers should commit up front to paying the cost of taking those down.
We've also talked, you and I, a number of times about the Mach 2 hydrogen hub plan that's coming to Delaware and other states in the region. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Colin O'Mara is co-chair of that project, so we know he backs it. Are other candidates bullish on this concept of, in the case of this hub, you know, so-called green hydrogen?
Yes, there seems to be general agreement that the Mach 2 is a good thing. What I've heard from Lieutenant Governor Hall Long is that she calls Mach 2 a major opportunity for the Delaware economy and an important way of decarbonizing some sectors of the economy. Representative Lisa Blunt Rochester, who of course is now running for the U.S. Senate, she's also a supporter of Mach 2, and points out that it's forecast to generate some 20,000 jobs across the region, not only Delaware, but southern New Jersey and southeastern Pennsylvania.
One of the things that supporters of Mach 2 point to, as you noted with Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Rochester, is its potential economic impact on job creation and more. Is that something that you're hearing from other candidates as well, that there's real opportunities for Delaware to tap into the green economy in general? And what role can government play or should play in supporting not just Mach 2, but other renewable energy projects?
There seems to be general agreement amongst the candidates on both sides of the aisle here that government does have a role to boost the use of Delaware's use of renewable energy. So, I mean, one example of that would be Matt Meyer on the Democratic side. It says that if he's elected, he would electrify the state's vehicle fleet and build more EV chargers. On the Republican side, Eric Hansen, who is the GOP candidate for the U.S. Senate seat, he's calling on the federal government to put tariffs on products imported from India and China that are manufactured with coal and perhaps other forms of fossil fuels, and he says that. That he accused those countries of what he called poisoning the world, and therefore is advocating that the U.S. government should put tariffs on those products. Hansen is saying that that's another way in which government can influence this debate.
So sea level rise, obviously a real threat to Delaware as the nation's lowest lying state. What are some of the positions you've heard on building resiliency against sea level rise in the state? Something, again, that we've talked about numerous times here on The Green with you.
Well, I mean, there seems to be general agreement that something needs to be done. I'm looking at a comment that was made by Marty Rendon, who is a Democratic candidate for the House seat in the 14th district. And he calls for what he calls monitoring coastal development. It's a little unclear as to what monitoring actually means. But then looking at Colin O'Mara's position on this, on sea level rise and the effect that it's having on Delaware, O'Mara gets a lot more specific. And he talks about the need to have what he calls the difficult conversations about moving some people in the most vulnerable areas to higher ground, and in a process that is generally referred to as managed retreat. He's talking about buying out houses. I mean, in a way that New Jersey, for example, already does. Removing public infrastructure such as wastewater plants. On the Republican side, Kim Hoey Stevenson, who is a candidate for a Sussex County House seat, She called for building coastal barriers, moving infrastructure, and restoring wetlands as a way to protect the coast from sea level rise.
So, John, how about clean water and PFAS contamination? Is that getting much attention from the candidates in this election?
Well, I think it is. Candidates for both sides recognize that that is a problem. One of the Democratic proposals for this is simply to take advantage of developing technology to improve filtration by providers of public drinking water supplies.
Were there any other issues that candidates discussed that stood out to you, or maybe even surprised you when it comes to the environment?
Well, I think there are two overall areas in which there seem to be agreement on action. They don't necessarily agree on the particular kind of action, but there's a recognition that these are overarching problems. One of them that we've already talked about a bit is sea level rise. Colin O'Mara is talking about managed retreat. Kim Stevenson again is talking about the need to build coastal barriers. So there's no denial that this is a problem that has to be addressed. And then the other general theme that emerged from this reporting was on environmental justice, and I was asking whether the candidates saw a need to provide special protection to underserved communities that have been disproportionately affected by environmental problems in the past. There seemed to be agreement on both sides that something needs to be done about environmental justice issues. Sarah McBride, for example, a Democratic candidate for the U.S. House seat that's being vacated by Representative Blunt Rochester, she said that there was a need to remediate the past harm done on environmental justice communities. And Mike Ramone, a Republican candidate for governor, said that the government has a responsibility to provide every Delawarean with the resources that they need.
You also reached out to environmental advocates to see how they feel about how these issues are being addressed. Do they feel candidates are paying enough attention to climate and environment?
I spoke with Dustin Thompson, the director of the Delaware Sierra Club, and his view is that however urgent these various environmental issues are, in his estimation, he thinks that the public is actually going to see other issues as more important in their decision on who to vote for in November. He was saying, for example, the protection of democracy, the reform of the Supreme Court, women's right to choose, in his view, those were all going to come ahead of environmental issues in the eyes of most voters.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. John's piece on where the candidates stand on environmental issues in the first state is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. We launch our Races to Watch series with a look at the Democratic primary in House District 21, where Republican Mike Ramone's decision to run for governor leaves a seat open and up for grabs. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.